from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Jeremy White.
I mean, how silly is that? And we're talking about practice.
And Joe DiBiase.
I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. We are here to talk about practice and some other things as well. Yeah.
Yeah. All day.
All day. Another day here at St. John Fisher. Joe's more prepared. You've got a, you got a hoodie on.
I've got a hoodie on.
I've got a hoodie as well.
It's much more comfortable having a hoodie on. It's actually even chillier today than yesterday.
I think that's right.
I think that's right. I saw the first number of the temperature was a 5 for this morning here at St. John Fisher.
Well, it's going to be beautiful back in Buffalo. I think it's expected to be beautiful here as well. Mm-hmm. It's a it's a great time. Great time. Good Friday morning. We are live at St. John Fisher for another day of Bills training camp. And a big show on the way today in terms of a bunch of guests. We'll get Sal Capaccio, his recap at 7 o'clock on yesterday's practice and a preview of, the weekend moving into week two of training camp. I guess it's kind of week two. Sal Mariana from here in Rochester joins us at 8 o'clock. Tyler Dunn at 8:30 of GoLongTD.com. And Sean McDermott. We are expecting Sean McDermott to sit down with us at 9:15 this morning, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. So there's your guest schedule. And if you want to join us, we have the ability to take your phone calls, chat about whatever you're thinking about here on the airwaves as well. You can call us at 803-0550. I want to start with a little side topic, fun topic, which is I don't know if I saw a viral catch yesterday, but I saw a viral throw.
Okay, was the throw by Sam Darnold?
No.
Because I saw one of those.
Okay,
there's a viral Sam Darnold.
We got to get the viral camp throw counter now.
Yeah.
See who's winning.
The VTC.
Yes.
The VTC.
We're tracking the viral camp catch counter. Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman, all the rookies. Well, the viral throw counter, you haven't seen the throw from Caleb Williams, huh?
I have not seen the Caleb Williams throw, no. Is this, like, going to be, what, Mahomes comparisons all through social media?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he does play like Mahomes.
He's usually pretty good at it.
Without the success, without saying he's going to be as good, if you're looking at straight style, that's Mahomes.
Okay, that throw is Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's jumping. He's running. It really is a Mahomes throw. He is running to the left, so cross body, and he leaps in the air. Like, when he throws the ball, he is more than a foot. Both his feet are a foot off the ground.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a Mahomes throw.
It's a Mahomes throw.
That's a Mahomes throw. That's like that's your wrist did the whole work of your throw. Like, you just flick the wrist, and the rest of your body is just, like, all over the place, but whatever, because
it's
perfect.
Well, this comparison, this point has been made about the way quarterbacks play now, right? This is throwing from all platforms is how they say it in football terminology.
Sure. Yeah.
The other way to say it is it's playing quarterback like a shortstop. This is a throw. A shortstop makes the first base.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That's what Mahomes does. You know, Mahomes played plenty of baseball. He's not the only one. There are quarterbacks that the athlete quarterbacks and the guys that can move and throw on the move, they play the position. They throw the ball like a baseball and like a shortstop. And here's Caleb Williams doing that. And I was thinking on the drive in about Caleb Williams and the Bears, and there's actually a connection here to the Bills, which if you'll allow. You know, I know it doesn't work this way, but if I was a Bears fan, I would be very optimistic that it's going to work out with Caleb Williams and what they've built. Not because of what they've actually have, but eventually, it's supposed to work out for everybody.
Yes.
Look who's good now.
Law of averages.
Look who's good now. The Bills. The Lions.
The Bills and the Lions.
The Lions are good. If you're the Bears, you're like, come on. It's got to be. The Browns are respectable.
The Browns are,
Chiefs are a dynasty.
Before we even get to the Chiefs, aren't those three teams historically like the biggest jokes of the last, at least since the 90s, right?
The Bengals had a run of ineptitude, but they got a little better with Andy Dalton.
Right.
But
the Chiefs having a dynasty, though, even that is. Like, they've been respectable kind of forever, but never a successful like winner.
No, to me they were always a team that was mediocrity.
What about the Jaguars? Okay. They're not the best, but they're usually like who's the team that's winning one or two games? Isn't it usually the Jaguars?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, the Texans too.
If
the Texans are historically
pretty
bad.
You're the Bears, you're like it's either us or Washington. Someone's about to be good because some new franchise is due to have a good couple of years.
Isn't the Bears even more specific than that, though? Like, it should work out for everybody eventually at quarterback.
Yes.
Like, eventually you should get you do it long enough. You take enough swings at the plate. You're good. Like the Bills. What's the list? Look at the list of quarterbacks between Kelly and Allen. Like that Fitz and Edwards and Lossman, and you go on and on and on and on, and eventually, you try enough times, you should get the guy. And the Bears are kind of like the Lions for me in a way. Like, the Lions, although with the team success, for 60 years never had a team this good. Like, eventually, it's almost incredible that they never had a team that good. It's maybe equally as incredible that Sid Luckman is still the all-time leading passer for the Chicago Bears. Like, how is it possible that they've gone a half a century, more than that, without ever landing on a really good quarterback?
Not even really good. Just kind of good. It's been so long for the Bears. One of my favorite stats I used to like to look up was how many seasons your team has had a quarterback start every game. Okay? Because that's continuity. That's, this guy's good enough to play. Josh Allen's going to be a lot of those seasons for the Bills. Tom Brady, a lot of seasons. If you're good, you play all the games in a season, or like 15, and then you rest.
Sure. Yep.
Quarterbacks that have started 16 games for the Bears. First off, when's the last year the Bears had a quarterback start all 16 games?
Did Trubisky do it? So like 2019?
It's 2009.
Oh, I was off by a decade?
16 games.
So Trubisky, is that Cutler?
Trubisky had a 15 start. Yeah, Cutler.
Okay.
Grossman 06, and the third guy back is 1995, Eric Kramer.
Yikes. So in the last 30 years?
They have so many seasons. You know, Fields and Tyson Bagent. By the way, remember Tyson Bagent's moment in the sun? Yes, that was last year.
Omitted that name.
Last year.
Completely.
That's right. Remember the articles that Justin Fields needs to learn a little something from Tyson Bagent?
Oh, yeah. Wait, okay. Is he the guy? I mean, Collinsworth does this with everybody, but didn't he?
He said that. He compared him to Mahomes.
He was the one who said that?
He compared Tyson Bagent to Mahomes.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. He compared Tyson Bagent to Mahomes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Simeon, Peterman, Dalton, Foles, Chase Daniel, Peterman. Mike Glennon, Brian Hoyer, Jimmy Clausen, Josh McCown, Jason Campbell, Caleb Haney.
Oh, my, what a list. Caleb Haney, who played in an NFC Championship game for that Bears team.
Jeez.
I think Cutler maybe started the game and got hurt like
got
the first drive.
Yeah.
And then it was a Caleb Haney NFC. By the way, that's the only time Aaron Rodgers ever made it to a Super Bowl. He had to beat Caleb Haney. Just throwing it out there.
Well, anyway, I was thinking about all that Bears. With the Bears and Caleb Williams because
whatever. He should cruise to being their best quarterback of all time, right?
It wouldn't take much.
It is, if you're a Bears fan, isn't that the minimum for him to be the successful pick at number one overall? Like, the expectation, the minimum expectation, if you're a Bears fan for this guy, is you've got to be our greatest quarterback we've ever seen. And again, that's not even that high a bar. It's kind of, it actually reminds me of Kincaid here. Like, Kincaid, when they picked him last year, I remember thinking, all right, the minimum goal here should be Dalton Kincaid is the greatest Bills tight end we've ever seen. And with that should come, that's not that great.
Yep.
Just, like, the Bills have never had a great tight end in their entire history. So just being the greatest the team's ever seen, the fan base has ever seen, shouldn't be that high a bar. I mean, if I'm a Bears fan, that is, you got to at least be that if you're Caleb Williams, which is what, again, like a 4,000-yard passer?
Oh, it's not much at all. Yeah, not much at all.
There was a stat a couple years ago that Tom Brady in his 40s only would be the all-time Bears passer, or maybe would be their all-time leader in passing touchdowns. They are, for the first time in my life, interesting.
Yeah.
Because of the quarterback and the weapons, too.
If I could be Grandpa. The last time, they were interesting in 1985, of course, the Super Bowl shuffle and that whole deal and the 85 Bears defense. And there was a brief moment in time where Jim Harbaugh was their quarterback. I guess Cutler had some time as well. Dick Geron won a Coach of the Year. The Bears will come in here for a preseason game, which is not that far away. We're less than a week away from the start of the preseason with the Hall of Fame game.
Which they'll be in.
Yep. And the Bills have their blue and red scrimmage a week from today, so that's at Highmark Stadium. That'll be a good opportunity for everyone to go out and not only see the Bills, but see the new stadium and the progress it's making.
15 days from the preseason game against the Bears.
All right.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
So 2 weeks from tomorrow, I bet we see Caleb Williams, and it might be his first ever action.
Yeah.
But we saw Anthony Richardson's first ever action.
He didn't
play that much on the year, but he played against the Bills last year, made some impressive plays, I thought, in that preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give you too much on the preseason, but athleticism and this kind of throw from Caleb Williams, it's a practice, but not everybody can do that. And if you're a quarterback that can do that, that's having a leg up. So, anyway, good for Caleb Williams, good for the Bears. They've got to be good eventually. They've got to be good eventually.
I really like how they've done it, too. Like, it's a little jealousy, I guess. Not too much, because the Bills have Allen, so I don't want to go that far with it. But they have leaned all the way into, let's surround our quarterback with the best possible crop of wide receivers that we can. Like, they already had a pretty good number one. Not like an elite number one, but a pretty good number one in DJ Moore. And, again, it's very different. The Bills have a $50 million quarterback, almost, and the Bears have a rookie quarterback contract. But their offseason was, we've already got a really good receiver and a pretty good tight end, by the way. Let's go trade for Keenan Allen.
Yep.
And then, you know what? While we're at it, why don't we go also spend the 9th overall pick on another top receiver? And they're walking into the year with, I've been looking at these lists of, like, Warren Sharp or Bill Barnwell. Different sites are, like, ranking position groups around the league, and I've often just scrolled right down to the Bills. Where are the Bills a receiver? Like, Warren Sharp has them 28th. Bill Barnwell, for overall pass catchers, has them 23rd. I've kind of scrolled right past, like, where would the Bears be on that list? Would they be
four?
Would they be top five everywhere?
Yeah, like, maybe.
They're awesome at receiver. That's part of it. Like, they've got the quarterback and the weapons.
Well, we don't know if they have the quarterback.
They have never been that type of team.
We don't know if they have the quarterback. They have a reason to believe they have a quarterback.
Right.
But we don't know how good he might be just yet. That'll take some time. They're interesting. There's no doubt about that. That division is interesting. The NFC North. Jordan Love looks amazing already, right?
Yep.
He played 8 amazing games, and he's going to make $60 million soon. The Lions should have gone to the Super Bowl. right? So
yeah.
it's good times in the NFL as we get closer to the season. All right, 803-0550, our phone number. There's your early morning take on the Bears.
Viral throw counter. Caleb Williams won. Does Allen have one
yet? I don't think so.
Mahomes, the worthy pass that was like the first viral clip of all the camps.
It was really more of a viral throw than a viral catch.
I was going to say, like, we gave it to Worthy because he does beat everyone down the field and catch it. But
Mahomes turning on a dime and throwing it 62 yards.
Like, he's rolling out left and same thing, like, flips his hips around and then just chucks it 60 yards in the air.
Yeah.
So he had one. I mentioned there was one by Darnold yesterday. Not that it was, like, that crazy. But him and Jefferson appear to be linking up early on. So, yeah, we don't have an Allen one yet. We have one Coleman one. Did we get a viral catch yesterday to add to the list?
There've been a good number of catches, right? Like,
yeah.
We've been okay.
Yeah.
Coleman. Shavers. Shavers had a great catch. It didn't make, you know, the viral rounds. The viral catch comes down to not only the catch itself, but the marketing of it. Does the social media team push it out?
I kind of want to give Shavers a point for the catch he made, which, like, the ball is, like, he's pinning the ball between his helmet, the side of his helmet, and his hand, but I haven't seen that on video anywhere. We saw it live.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him. Half credit. You didn't go viral, but it was worthy of being viral.
Well, McDermott today, Sal today, Sal Mariana, and Tyler Dunn as well. There's some spicy Bills news today.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't see the spicy Bills.
Did I miss the spicy Bills?
There's two things to get to. Two things. One, we've got video of Matt Milano and a little bit of speculation that he does not look 100%.
Okay, that I saw.
That we can get to.
Yeah.
The other thing is about Terry Pegula and Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
From Tim Graham. Tim Graham has a piece up at The Athletic where he wrote about the changing leadership group with the Bills. And there's a passage here in this where it's about Allen's leadership style and what Pegula wants mm-hmm. Allen to be.
Yeah.
That he has not been yet. And the phrase is, I'll read you the line here, because it's a little paragraph on Allen and leadership.
Okay.
Bills owner Terry Pegula has implored Sean McDermott and general manager Brandon Bean to coax more of an executive demeanor out of Allen, a transformation that never took last year and likely added to Allen's ruddy play through 10 games. Allen seemed to confirm he's been reflecting on that criticism. Quote, as a franchise quarterback, guys that get their second contract, you're not getting paid just to be the quarterback. You're getting paid to be the best leader that you can be. The best quarterback obviously comes with that. Leadership looks like a lot of different things. You wear many hats in this building. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing. I feel like I'm one of the guys, and sometimes I have to remind myself that you're looked at a little bit differently. Guys rely on you a little bit more.
That is not the most surprising thing to me, given that, you know, that's kind of how Allen has talked in the past, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've heard him on, whether it's Pardon My Take or it's, you know, one of these golf streams that he's doing on YouTube with different people, that kind of is how he comes off, where whenever he gets asked about dynamic with teammates, it's very often like that he's one of the guys. So I guess I'm not stunned to hear Tim Graham writing this about Josh Allen. It, you know, the thought, though, that immediately popped in my head as you started reading that is, should I add this to the list of potential reasons that they moved on from Stephon Diggs? Do they feel like they had, like, I would just wonder, I don't know at all, but I would just wonder, do they feel like Allen as a leader couldn't come out the same way when you have such an alpha in the room already? Like, Diggs came off as who's the guy on the sidelines that's coming over to give Josh the pep talk? You know, who's the guy in the Cincinnati game that when Hamlin goes down that is gathering the team around him, trying to fire everybody up of, hey, if we got to go out here and do this, we got to do it. Who's the guy that's doing that? And it quite often was Diggs. So, I don't know. Again, I don't know if I need to attach those two things, but it's something that popped into my mind as you started reading there.
Well, in the article, in the story, you don't have to attach just those two things.
Yeah.
Tim writes about how all the captains are gone.
Right.
Pretty much.
Davis.
Except for Vaughn.
Diggs, Hyde.
Tyler Medikevich.
Tyler Medikevich.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
All the leaders are gone. So there's this leadership void that, okay, they want him to step into. So to me, Joe, there are two. I almost want to put up a Twitter poll about this, and maybe I will. Or we'll ask you at 803-0550. Which of the two is this story about? Pegula or Allen? Terry Pegula has asked his coach and GM to coax something out of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
For some listening, that'll be about the owner. And for some, that'll be about the quarterback.
Right.
He's in year seven.
Yep.
He's in year seven. He's not one of the highest paid quarterbacks anymore. A lot of guys have passed him.
He's 11th or something.
And more will. Yeah. But he's in year seven, and the owner of the team is telling the coach and the GM, I feel like you've got to change him.
Mm-hmm.
He is, of course, people talk about him as their favorite teammate ever, right? Like, they love him. Allen, they love him. His friends get to be the backup quarterback. That's a routine that happens around here. That's fine. My feeling on a lot of this stuff is, and it's from that graph I read, leadership is in the eye of the beholder. We do this all the time. We are on the outside, and we watch and say, look at that leadership. Look at him talking to his teammates. Leadership. I mean, who knows if it actually is. We view it a certain way. The story about Nathan MacKinnon with the Colorado Avalanche, who screams at teammates at practice if a pass is bad.
Or he'll go over to them at, like, the lunch table, and if they're eating
something unhealthy,
he'll slam the table. Come on, man.
If that team is in 19th place, he's a malcontent. If they're in second, he's a leader.
Right.
So leadership is in the eye of the beholder here. But let's not forget this kind of story coming out today from Tim. A year ago, we sat here, and one of the main themes of camp was that Josh Allen was never more focused on football.
Yeah.
That was a year ago.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason.
But that doesn't mean.
They felt the need. He felt the need. People felt the need. It was just a point. I don't even really know where it came from.
Yeah.
But that was a consistent refrain that he was more focused on football. Again, like, that kind of leads you to say, like, what, was he not focused enough? Sure. Right. If you want to make that guess, I don't know. I'm not making that accusation. I just know that was one of the routine things said last year. Fast forward 1 year, here's Tim writing, the owner has pushed the coach and the GM to try to reach him to be more of an executive, more of a leader, and less of one of the guys.
Yeah. I guess for me, it comes off more about the quarterback than it does about the owner. Like, I don't know what they've seen from him on this front, but if you have seen a guy that's, hey, kind of one more of one of the guys, and yeah, right, how last year was about more being focused on football, I don't know, like, don't you want him to kind of take over and be, like, the head of the dragon a little bit, not just a 1/11th? Like, you are, even though you mentioned, like, he's not the highest paid quarterback in football, far from it at this point. Like, he's by far the highest paid player on the team. They have a large investment in him, clearly. You want him to kind of be that guy, don't you? And, like, focus on football doesn't necessarily mean focused on, like, this almost would even be separate from football. Focused on football to me means more about, like, you know, film analysis and, like, workout regimen and stuff like that. Like, to me, what this kind of reads more like is holding teammates accountable, being kind of, like, above some teammates, but in a good way, because you're the one that's keeping everybody in check, or you're the one that's demanding things out of them. I don't know. Like, it, again, maybe that's a maturity thing, too, with Allen. I mean, he is, how old is he now? 27 years old. Maybe that's something that you grow into a little bit, and maybe it just hasn't happened yet, and the owner and the team has gone, like, all right, can you do this now? Especially now with all the captains being removed, like, there's no one else here that is above you in this regard, right? There's no, you're the veteran now. 7 years in the league, how many players on offense outrank him for that? Anybody? Mac Collins, but, like, he's a depth receiver.
Right.
Dawkins, I guess, right? So he would be one of the leaders of their offense. Dawkins and Knox, is that pretty much it? Like, the deck's been cleared for you to kind of take over the locker room. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like it reads more like it would be about the quarterback in that way.
For some it will. For some it'll read about the owner. Because if you read the replies to Tim's post, there's a lot of, get out of here, Terry Pegula. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of responses of that nature. And Tyler Dunn, we're going to talk about a lot of things. Tyler Dunn's coming up today at 8:30. Want a clip from his piece from way back when? Remember the finger quotes here, hit piece? Remember
sure.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tyler had a piece here about Allen in here, quoting an ex-Bill.
Yeah.
Josh isn't that guy. He's not going to be that way with the head coach, where he's rah-rah, mercilessly, Brady, Rodgers,
yeah.
Manning. He's not that guy. It's a personality deal. That's just who he is. He wants to run through your face, establish the fact he's the biggest alpha male dog quarterback in the history of pro football. He just might not be aligned with the saying, are you ready for it?
Uh-huh.
The word of the day, you heard it a million times. He just might not have the same process
uh-huh.
as a certain someone else, alluding to McDermott. And this is where I feel like a really comfortable landing spot. It's a little bit of a cop-out, but I also feel like it's reality because of narratives. Leadership's the eye of the beholder. Joe Montana threw a touchdown pass to John Taylor to win a Super Bowl, and the story is that before the play or on the drive, he pointed out that John Candy was in the stands. Is he not focused?
Yeah. He's like, hey, look over there. Is that John Candy over there? I was like, Joe, we got to drive to win the Super Bowl.
Right. What are you thinking about, man? Like, but he's cool as a cucumber. Hey,
right.
Look at that. John Candy's here. Anyway,
right.
You know,
right.
ZX935, on three, go. Touchdown, we won the Super Bowl. So there's probably a point here about sports in general, youth sports,
yeah.
The Bradyfication of the world. Everybody thinks you should be Brady or Jordan. How about the Jordan documentary?
The Jordan documentary yeah.
kind of paves the way for everyone to be a ruthless jerk because, well, Jordan did it,
yeah.
So that's how I should be too.
The other individual I would throw into that is Kobe.
Yes.
Kobe and maybe even his death too, like he's become even more of an icon since then. And what is the conversation every time he comes up? It's how ruthless and how much of a psycho competitor he was.
Yep.
Right? Those three might be the top of the list for the change there.
I'm
over here appreciating my man over in Denver, Nikola Jokic, who wins the title last year. He's
like, doesn't care.
I just want to go see my horses,
right.
man.
Doesn't care. Doesn't care. So I find it newsworthy, worth talking about, but also I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they have a major problem.
I was going to say, does that mean he can't win?
No, of course not. It might mean, well, whatever. It might mean people look at him in a different way. But we'll see. 803-0550. I think it's an interesting conversation, a really interesting story. And here's Tim Graham saying the owner of the team wants him to separate himself from teammates.
And also, like, again, as I'm going through this for the first time, really, so you tell me because you've already been through it. Like, it kind of is also like Allen is seeming like he hears it.
Not
that he hears it, but like he understands it. He understands the want for him to be that way, maybe
yes.
a little bit.
Yes, the quote. I mean, Allen is quoted in the story,
yeah.
as having talked about it, saying,
"Yeah, here Allen seemed to confirm he has been reflecting on that criticism." And there's a long quote about,
right?
Yeah,
reflecting on the criticism that
right.
he doesn't step out enough from teammates because you're not one of the guys,
right?
You're not. 803-0550. Give us a call on this. Like, do you feel like it's a story about the owner? A story about the coach?
Mm-hmm.
Story about the quarterback? It's interesting. So, you know, we'll throw it around. We'll ask Sal at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to Tyler, who has a little bit on this, at 8:30. There are plenty of Bills fans, Joe,
yeah,
that just want – just let Josh Allen be a wild, free stallion. And
yeah.
I think I might be closer to that side of it, which is why I just want a million receivers on the team. Just throw
right.
it 80 times a game and see what happens.
Right.
Okay. 803-0550 to join us. We're live from Bills training camp. Coverage of Bills training camp is, of course, brought to you by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. And brought to you in part by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, back with you. Give us a call on this. I think it's juicy. Where do you come down on the idea that Allen needs to separate more? Because the owner of the team wants that, wants the separation of the quarterback and the rest of the guys a little bit from a leadership standpoint. That's what the story from Tim Graham at The Athletic is. We've tweeted that out. If you want to read that and give us a call, open phone lines. Be happy to chat about it with you here on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's awesome. I mean, you want to have a great connection with your quarterback, and it's pretty easy to have a great connection with Josh just because he's a good guy. And it's like, you know, any golf trip he asked me to go on, I kind of just say yes and don't really ask any questions after that. And it's been a lot of fun just kind of getting to know him a lot more.
Bills tight end Dalton Kincaid. Saw him out here. The thing about Kincaid that struck me yesterday, Joe, was, or whatever, Wednesday. I forget how big Kincaid is. He's big. He's tall.
He's tall.
He's tall.
Especially. He's not necessarily like thick.
No, but he's
like, he's not built like him standing next to Knox is interesting, because Knox is a little shorter, but like you could just tell Knox is more built, but Kincaid's taller. Like,
yeah,
and his wingspan too.
Yeah, we talk catch radius a lot of these receivers, and Kincaid's got a pretty good one. And standing next to Allen, he's a big tight. He's big. He's big, fast, moves well. Anyway, Dalton Kincaid. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR as we cruise through this Friday morning. You can give us a call if you'd like. Ask anything about camp, offer an opinion. You know, there's a conversation about Josh Allen's leadership style that's probably going to open up for the year. I mean, this is the kind of reporting, Tim Graham reporting that Terry Pegula has implored Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean to kind of pull a little bit of a different style out of Allen. And the story is that, essentially, he wants him to be more of an executive here, an executive demeanor, a transformation, less of one of the guys and more of you run this team.
Yeah.
And, you know, players, when they're on the team, players are definitely going to get the benefit of the doubt over an owner of a team. For the most part, that happens. The owner here, in this case, if that, you know, I trust Tim's reporting to be true here. If you are the Bills, right about now is especially the time you would think that. The turnover, who's still here? It's Allen McDermott.
Right.
And who's the next guy? Dawkins?
Dawkins.
The guys that have been here a long time. This is a major turning over transition, and it's like the second version of the Josh Allen Bills is about to start. And for the owner to want to ask the coach and the GM to bring a different mindset out of Allen, that's going to make some fans mad, like, get out of his way. I do feel like that it's not the craziest thing to ask. It's not asking him to throw it deep. It's asking him
how
you operate in a way. But, you know, it's a delicate balance.
It also could be something – I wonder, you know, you mentioned, like, Manning was like that and Brady was like that, of course. You know, that's been – that story's been told a billion times now. Were they always like that? Are there any guys that kind of morphed into that as they matured and got older? And, you know, like, I've heard Brady talk about how he's never said he wasn't like that at the beginning, but that it definitely changed when he was just older than all of his teammates. Like, there was a generational gap at one point for him. And Allen, you know, like, in terms of starters, isn't he one of their older starters right now? Like, at some point, he's going to be a 30-year-old guy, a 31, 32-year-old guy still quarterbacking this team. And, you know, are you still going to be one of the guys when the guys are, like, 10 years younger than you? I wonder if that'll change for him over time, slowly. That's not, again, maybe that's not what the owner wants or the GM or the coach. Maybe they want that to come to happen right now. But does it mean it'll be like that forever? I don't know the answer to that question. I also know how meaningful is it to their, like, on-field results? Like, what would be different, I guess, is another way I would be thinking about, you know, his leadership style and being more like that. How would the relationship with Diggs be different is another thing that comes to mind for me.
Yep.
And
so on Diggs,
yeah.
This is actually an Antonio Brown point, too, because whatever. Like, I think these are always fun things to talk about. Derek Carr was on Pardon My Diggs. You had the interview with Derek Carr? Maybe not. Okay, that's fine. It's not important. Derek Carr and Antonio Brown. So Antonio Brown goes to the Raiders, and the story is that it was a disaster, right?
Yes.
The helmet stuff. Everything was bad. So Derek Carr got a very, very limited amount of time with Antonio Brown. And he's talking to the guys on Pardon My Take about it. And what he basically said was a lot of the same stuff that we've heard about Diggs. And I don't mean malcontent diva.
Yeah.
But the good stuff where unbelievable intensity in practice.
Mm-hmm.
That he was the hardest worker. He took it the most seriously. And I think what you find with maybe some of these cases about how teams are going to operate is a guy that's intense is going to burn out the team.
Right.
And the team will move on. It doesn't mean we didn't value what you did. We talk about this all the time in hockey, right? Oh, the coach's message. It's just, you know, fire and brimstone.
It got tired.
It got tired. They needed a new voice. And Carr talking about Antonio Brown that way, why do you think Brady wanted him? Brady got him in Tampa.
Yeah.
Because he knew.
They did win a Super Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. And even though he's nuts, Brady knew this guy is going to work crazy hard for me. Bulldogs talking yesterday with Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog were talking about this, how Dominic Hasek's mindset in practice was so insane.
Oh, wasn't he a crazy person?
Yes.
Like, flip the net over, like, stuff like that?
Every single rep mattered to him. And there are going to be some greats where that's the way they operate, and there are going to be some greats where that's not the way they operate. So, you know, when we, on the outside, I think, sit here trying to find the code, it can be maybe a fool's errand, or maybe there's something to be said there, but it lends itself to an interesting conversation.
Don't you want somebody like that, don't you, on your team? Somebody important, too. Not like, you know, Mac Hollins, third string, whatever. Like, someone that's important to the team. Don't you want a guy like that? And you want a team that can handle that, right? Because that should, in time, maybe, right, it gets burned out. But especially when you're starting off that way, the first couple of years with a guy like that, you would think that that's going to be a positive influence on everybody.
And we know that
especially
was.
Especially if a team that hasn't won.
Right, and we know that was with the Bills and Diggs because Deion Dawkins wrote about it at the Players' Tribune saying he made everyone here better.
Like, I would want to believe that the way Diggs was, for intense as he was, for the crazy competitiveness that sometimes, you know, could he handle the losing at the end of it? Like, he you know, maybe would go too far sometimes, but whatever. In that locker room, behind the scenes and on the practice field, the dude was intense as hell. And maybe when the play deteriorated a little bit at the end of last year, it's okay, is it worth it now if he's not going to be a stud for us? But would you turn away from that the next time? the next time you get a chance to have a guy like that at any position, are you going to turn away from it because you don't think you can handle it, or you don't think it's a positive influence on the rest of the team? Because I think you'd want an organization that would invite that. You know, like, I often would compare Diggs to Jimmy Butler in this way, who is definitely in the NBA somebody that goes too far all the time. And when that guy was in Minnesota, there was a famous practice where he lost his mind and, like, I'm taking all the backups and we're playing the starters. And he was just in the face of their starters and he got traded the next day. Like, it was too intense for the Minnesota Timberwolves to handle. Then he went to the Miami Heat. What does he do there? He's getting in fights with the coach on the sideline, who's slamming clipboards down, and he's, you know, getting into it with the owner behind the scenes, and they've gone to, like, two NBA finals, and he's still there. Why? Because that's an organization that said, okay, this dude's a crazy person, he's an intense competitor, but we can handle it. Well, right? We can handle him, we can harness it, and I want to believe the Bills are an organization that would say to a guy like that, that we can harness this. We can take this in and handle it, even after Diggs was that way.
Right. It is the ultimate story about harnessing it or finding a way to direct it in the right way. You know, as you're laying that all out, who am I thinking about? I'm thinking about Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Who is a great player.
Yep.
And definitely the Warriors struggle to control that.
It's tough. They can't always.
They can't.
Sometimes they can't
and
do
sometimes
it.
It's for good and sometimes it's for bad. And
right.
Just the way that it goes. Another example about what we're really getting at is intensity and drive to win. And I do not think, I want to make this clear, I do not think it necessarily has to be a direct line intensity equals wins. Because the reigning U.S. Open champion, Bryson DeChambeau, right?
Yeah.
Signing autographs on the way from one green to the next tee box.
Mm-hmm.
Interacting with fans, saying to fans during the round, don't boo me because I'm going to lay up.
Yeah.
That's a guy who is relaxed.
Yeah.
In those moments. Who's the greatest golfer of all time?
Tiger.
And he would...
I've heard stories about guys in his group.
Right?
He wouldn't say a word to you in your group the whole round.
Right.
If he was in the league.
And if you're someone that said something during his backswing, his caddy was going to punch you in the face. So, I don't want to... I mean, again, like...
There's different ways to win.
Yes. DeChambeau is not Tiger. I'm not making that claim. But just some guys need that complete lock-in. And some guys need to have fun or be a little bit more freestyle.
But what's the right mix when, like, the most important person, this is part of the Allen piece that Tim Graham wrote about, the most important person on your team, how do you want him being?
Right. That's...
And I don't even know personally, like, how I feel I would want that person to be. Because in some, you know, like, especially the basketball comparisons, like Jordan and Kobe, like... Do we only mention the winners, though, that are like that?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
There are guys that didn't win that were like that, and they're probably labeled as, like, bad teammates, right?
Not necessarily. A guy that
like,
was...
Like, what would Jordan be... If Jordan never won, if his team always... The team around Pippen was bad or whatever, like, the Bulls weren't a competent organization, and Jordan was the way he was, but he didn't win six titles, how would he be remembered? Would he be remembered as a bad teammate that punched his, you know, guard in the face in a practice?
Yeah. It's tough to imagine him not winning.
Right, I know.
Caleb writes in, how about this one? Very recent. Andy Reid and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Kelce flipped out and bumped his coach.
I forgot about that. He did. Yeah. He did.
And how was that looked at?
Yeah.
Since Kelce is an all-time great, it's, hey, that's fire. And what does Andy Reid say? Who knows what he said privately. Publicly, he's like, that's fine. He's fired. He's fired up.
Yeah.
Like, that was a moment. That
how would Bills fans feel if they saw a clip of Allen like that?
It doesn't
have to be bumping the coach, but him flipping out on somebody on the sidelines this year, like he hasn't won like Kelce has. How would it be treated?
Well, the way Allen I think is revered, justifiably, almost entirely, people are going to take Allen's side on anything. Like if Allen bumped McDermott the way that Kelce had bumped Reed,
yeah.
Again, Reed's got Super Bowls, so like there's a...
Yep. So is Kelce.
It's a great question. I feel like Allen has everyone's support, just about. The question I asked on Twitter, and if you want to chime in on this, like I do think it's super interesting, is the story here about the owner of the quarterback. The owner is imploring the GM and the coach to coax an executive demeanor out of Allen. Separate from teammates a little bit. And I tweeted the question, is it ownership or is it the owner or the quarterback? Like, who's the main character here for you in the story? Anthony wrote in, I think what Terry said is fair, but I also think that with who Josh is, it may have always been a little weird coming into the team as a rookie with Micah and Jordan already here. Maybe Josh didn't want to step on toes. Now it's time for him to step up. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Maurice, the Bills would run through a brick wall for Josh. Hard to say him trying to be one of the guys is a bad thing, since that's his entire personality and what endears him to teammates and fans. And Allen clearly tries to put the cape on and carry the team. Don't forget, last year we were introduced to the idea of low positive, where he was talking about his mentality going into games, right?
Yeah.
The golden retriever idea became, all of a sudden, there was a lot on his mind, and we were saying,
right, yeah,
relax, everybody. Let's let him be himself. The battle for the soul of Josh Allen continues. Jeremy and Joe from training camp. Sal at the top of the hour. We'll get his take on this and other things as well. Matt Milano, Von Miller, Curtis Samuel had a day. All coming up here from St. John Fisher on WGR.
I'm Von Miller. I'm kind of measured by sacks. I didn't get any last year. I made 3 tackles. You know, I probably should not have played last year. At 34 years old, to sit out, you know, a season and a half, it just wasn't on my mind.
Von Miller out here at practice, hoping to return to form. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher, Sal Capaccio joining us next segment, breaking down day 2 and previewing day 3 as we gear up for a beautiful weekend. Beautiful weekend on tap.
Summer Olympics opening ceremonies today?
Yes.
Will you be watching?
The ceremonies?
The ceremonies. Is that a must-see for you every time?
Isn't it happening on the river, the Seine?
It's happening on the Seine, yes.
Okay.
1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I do believe I saw Celine Dion will be performing live.
Interesting. The biggest story out of the Olympics so far is that Canada soccer has been cheating for years.
Yes. Was it just the women's team, though? Or is
no.
it both?
It's basically...
Okay, because I only saw that the women's team got caught with, like, they were flying a drone over another team's practice, and they got caught.
TSN reported Canada men and women's soccer teams have relied on drones and spying for years.
Wow.
Yep.
Coaching, isn't that the sport you would least need to do that for? There's not, like...
Well, you'd know
set plays.
What's their formation they're going to come out
yeah,
in.
Yeah, okay.
How to, whatever. I don't know. Coaching staff and contractors working with Canada's men's and women's national soccer teams have been engaged for years in efforts to film the closed-door training sessions of their opponents, including during the women's gold medal-winning Olympic tournament in 2021.
That is nuts. Wow. So, okay. Are they going to get banned from, like, World Cups? Canada is hosting, like, the U.S. is hosting the World Cup in 2026, but Canada is hosting part of it. Like, they got an automatic bid because Toronto and Vancouver are two of the host cities.
It's a North American bid, Canada, U.S.,
yeah.
Mexico. And
so can you ban them from a World Cup that they're co-hosting?
I don't know.
Man. Also, I wanted their manager for the U.S. team.
Maybe not anymore.
Well, he just got there. I guess he would know, though,
I don't
right?
know
if they're,
about
if
this.
They're cheating,
what?
He would know.
Spying? I just got here.
Yeah.
Who's spying? All right, Sal next. We'll get his thoughts on this Josh Allen conversation, on his leadership role, leadership style, all that good stuff. Sal next. Sal Mariana at 8. Tyler Dunn, 8 o'clock hour. Sean McDermott, 9:15. All coming up here from training camp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.